D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, hanging out with you at Hermitage Golf Course for the Special Olympics of Tennessee Golf Tournament. Really cool to be able to interact with some of the athletes and everybody involved here. Again, you can help by texting GIVE to 615-270-9948. We'll continue to get that out there. But as we do every Tuesday at noon, we say hello to the man, the myth, the legend, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. He is on the line with us. Timmy, how you doing?
What's up, boys? How you guys doing?
We are doing fantastic. It's a good day. Got a little weather that may come through, but that doesn't stop us from doing anything. But the Titans have won four in a row, and they're not all pretty. But to me,
Hold on a second. Hold on. That wasn't pretty? Like, why do you have to score on offense? Does that matter?
Well, you know, it helps, Tim.
If you can score on defense, then you don't need to score on offense.
You guys anti-field goal? What's the problem?
No. No, look, I said earlier that was Fisher ball at its finest, and I meant that as a compliment. But
that was a compliment. Oh, was that a backhanded compliment? What kind of compliment?
No, it was a compliment. I mean, look, they found a way to win the game. The defense set the tone for them. And to me, that makes it more Vrabel ball. I mean, you've seen this over the course of the last four games that it's been the defense that has been beat up and it set the tone. But I feel like that's exactly what happened with this team. And now you got concerns with the quarterback potentially being injured. But they found a way to win. They made the big plays. And, look, now Matt Ryan's lost his job.
Yeah, look, I think in terms of your point, Chase, about Vrabel ball, the video with Vrabel and Ben Jones in the tunnel after the game is, I think kind of the definition of what you're looking at, right? Like, grind it out. Like, know that it's tough. It's not going to be pretty. You know, everyone understands that. We're okay with it, but we're going to still ask a lot of you. Like, that kind of feel. Like, that's definitely the vibe, like, no doubt about it. And that's a huge win, you know, when you think back to, you know, what the swing of winning that game was. So, yeah, certainly concerns going forward. I mean, it was probably good to see that Ryan was able to finish the game. I wasn't sure how that was going to look as they were, you know, spatting up his ankle. But, like, sitting there at 4-2, when you think about, you know, what the reaction was losing to the Giants and, you know, what the Giants look like now. I'm surprised that they're 4-2. I'm surprised that this is what it looks like, but in their division, it's a pretty good place to be sitting in.
So what did you make of the decision to go with Sam Ehlinger the rest of the way for the Colts?
Yeah, you know, there's part of it for me that's curious on a couple fronts with it, in that, you know, just like is it health related at all? And the reason I say that is, look, it wasn't pretty for them this past week, and Matt Ryan had games that weren't great, but just 2 weeks ago in another division game, Matt Ryan was 42 of 58 for 389 yards, three touchdowns, and no picks. Like, with, you know, a depleted roster on offense, I can just tell you right now, Sam Ehlinger can't do that. So, look, I felt like I would just say this. I think Matt Ryan's been disappointing. You know, I think they probably would have hoped that he'd played better. But it's not like it's been all bad. I mean, they won the game last week against Jacksonville, or 2 weeks ago against Jacksonville, because of him. So,
no question.
That's why it surprises me a little bit. So I just am curious, if it's health related at all.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. So going back to Ryan Tannehill, let's say he can't go. What is your confidence level in Todd Downing and the Titans to be able to scheme a game plan together for Malik Willis to make his first start?
Yeah, I think the confidence level would be high. After seeing him play in the preseason, I think we all agree the talent level is there. I think the thing that you want to try to do as you create a plan for him is say, all right, like, we've created this plan for you, But look how we won last week. Like, we won last week because, you know, we've done a pretty good job of not turning it over, but turning them over, right? We're grinding it out. And so I think that's the fear when you have a young quarterback playing is, all right, well, like, can he avoid the mistake that, you know, hey, we just turned the ball over on our own 30, and now all of a sudden we gave them a short field, or, you know, because of a bad decision, you know, with 3 minutes left in the half, they get the football back, they drive down the field, they get points right before the half, and then they receive the half, the kick in the second half. Like, things like that, I think, are, you know, stuff that the coach kind of has to help the guy with. But in saying that, like, I think Mike Vrabel, one of the things he's done an amazing job of, like, managing the game, you know, as a head coach can. And I think I've said this to you guys before, I think it's one of the reasons I really like Sean McDermott as a coach, because, you know, way before he ever had Josh Allen, like, he did a great job of managing the football game with various guys playing quarterback, running the game, you know, being smart about how, you know, the offense was allowed to call plays. And I think he would have to do that if Malik was their starter.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, we were discussing earlier, is there any moves? Because this, right now, I mean, we've talked about it enough, this offense. And it's an offense that's one-dimensional. And there's nobody on this current team now that would pose a threat other than Derrick Henry to opposing defenses. And I'm only talking from a passing standpoint. Is there any assets on the Tennessee Titans team you believe that they can trade away to try to get, you know, another playmaker on offense, even if there's a playmaker out there to get?
You know, is there somebody that would be moved? I don't feel like there's somebody that sticks out to me, mm-hmm. you know, in that regard. And then in terms of, like, guys that would be available, I don't feel like they would be in the mix for it. You know, guys that could potentially be moved, and or you look at, you know, people, like, if you look at some of these teams that are, like, well, like Carolina, for example, uh-huh. you know, like, I just feel like the Titans, you'd be competing against other people that, you know, probably more apt to be more aggressive to go get them. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, the receiver position, which is, you know, I think we've talked about it enough. It's like, all right, let's just say you wanted to say, all right, let's address receiver somehow. So you kind of go through who potentially could become available. You all also dealing with other teams that are in that same mix, like Green Bay, obviously, you know, being one of them. So I don't know. I don't feel like they end up being a player in that. That's look, I could be wrong. We get surprised every now and then on that stuff, but you know, that's how I would end up seeing it. Like, and I would be shocked, to be quite honestly, like, if Green Bay doesn't do something.
Now, do you in regards to Mike Vrabel, and you mentioned this you know, a couple of minutes ago, I think he's one of the best coaches at taking a situation, essentially a one-off situation, and making the best out of that one-off situation and putting together a game plan, whether it be offense or defense, because he's been in that situation defensively too many times this year and last year where key guys go down right before the game the next following week. And he's managed to put together a game plan that incorporates everybody, and they come out and they play a really good game for that one off. I just think Vrabel's one of the best coaches at doing that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the thing that has surprised me, maybe it's not fair to him, I think there are game management aspects of being a head coach that we've traditionally seen offensive-minded head coaches do a nice job with. Right, and maybe it's just because of the, you know, the experience they maybe had is, say they were a quarterback at one point, or say that they were a play caller at some point, that they do a nice job with it. And I think sometimes when you see defensive-minded head coaches, you wonder, like, okay, like, you know, I wonder how he'll handle these situations. But I think that he's kind of been as good as anybody. Like, you know, there are coaches. I mean, take Mike McCarthy as the example. Like, people, I think, are holding their breath in Dallas every time there's, like, you're up against the clock and when you take your timeouts and, the type of plays that you call, are happening. And I just don't think people have that same concern with Vrabel. And it's somewhat interesting in that when you talk about this on like from an offensive perspective and a two-minute drive and things are happening fast, when he was a player, he was never in any of those meetings, ever. You know, he's never a part of that stuff. So I've been really impressed with his time as a head coach. I think really all Titans fans should be impressed about it.
And Tim, I'd take it one step further. I think he's improved since he started in a lot of those areas. I think he's done a lot of self-evaluation. For example, we used to get on him a lot about the challenges. He lost a bunch his first couple years. He probably had some challenges that, you kind of looked at in the moment and saying, ooh, why is he challenging that? There's clearly not enough evidence, whatever the case was. He's now won the last seven challenges that he's had. So that's just one example, and I think he's always looking to try to get better.
Yeah, it's really remarkable, in that way. And I mean, shoot, whether it's been Nathaniel Hackett, whether it's been Dan Campbell, I do think that young coaches probably or first-time head coaches, probably have some, kinks to work out in terms of the operation of challenging things. But if you don't fix it, to your point, Willie, if you don't say, all right, wait a second, maybe we need to streamline this differently, maybe we need to kind of set up some structures, put things in place where it's like, look, if we're going to challenge this because the value of the timeout is significant, we've got to do it differently than we're doing it now. And you would presume that they are with the success. But that's something I do feel like young first-time coaches kind of really struggle with because, much of it probably is also designating somebody that their demeanor and mindset, and you're trusting them because they're looking at it as you're standing on the sideline.
Yeah, another one would be going for it, not going for it. Yeah. I think early on, remember that first year or two, if the player's like, let's go for it, coach, he'd be like, yeah, let's go for it. he'd get in the emotion of it. Now I think he's got the emotion, the feel for the game balanced with what are the numbers telling me. I think he's got a much better feel for that, much better understanding of that.
Yeah, that's Dan Campbell, right? I mean, this year. I mean, that's part of it. And I think eventually what you do is you evolve to John Harbaugh, which is like, all right, you've made the decision that you're going to go for it. And then at that point, in order to empower your players, you're like, hey, do you want to go for it? Because you know they're going to say yes. And then you're like, yeah, I trusted my guys. It's like, no, you made that decision beforehand. Like, let's stop.
We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. He's presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. We'll continue that conversation with Tim coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. But first, Willie has a word on Loan Pronto.
All right. Loan Pronto wants you to know if you need cash for the holidays or if you need cash to pay off bills, credit cards, whatever they may be, Loan Pronto's all-new Express Equity Line of Credit program is waiting for you. It's what you need. It's great. You can unlock that cash, keep your low mortgage rate, and then go to work. That's right. You don't have to do a full home refi these days. You can tap a small portion of the equity and enjoy a super low rate with the Express Equity Line of Credit. You can close in 7 to 10 days, get $50,000, $100,000, whatever it is, and then it's going to cost you only about $300 a month if it's $50,000. So you can use that money to pay off the big bills, high-interest credit cards, consolidate other debt, start a home improvement project, whatever you need that cash for. Loan Pronto can help you. So do it now before the holidays. Call and get the info, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Mm-hmm.
Back here on Chase Willie and D-Mace from the Hermitage Golf Club. On behalf of the Special Olympics, golf tournament going on today. We'll continue to tell you how you can help. In the meantime, we continue our conversation with Tim Hasselbeck, talking NFL football. So, Tim, we've talked a lot to Titans here. Let's look around the league a little bit. Tough one last night for the Patriots and a really puzzling quarterback situation here where you had a classic Bill Belichick not saying anything before the game, but and then after the game saying, oh, I told everybody, I told ESPN, we were planning on playing both guys. So it seems to me to be way too early to give up on Mac Jones here, even though you've got a really fun upstart in Zappe playing really good football. Where do you think that's going?
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think it's way too early. Listen, just because a guy comes in, has a couple good weeks, you know, doesn't mean that you ever punt on the guy that you drafted in the first round. Like, you know, and all, I just think you got to be careful to kind of to overreact to a few good games. And the reason I say that is, like, there are guys that, look, whether it was Taylor Heineke, who, you know, came out and was fun to watch and was competitive, or whether it was Kyle Allen in Carolina, who, you know, comes in and, you know, has a few good games, making good decisions, passing the football. Like, I do think there are elements. I mean, shoot, Cooper Rush, for that matter, right? Like, oh, hey, look what he's doing. Like, to overreact and feel like, you know, you've just uncovered, you know, the next Tom Brady. Like, so I'm not ready to do that. I think Mac Jones is still a good player. But, you know, all that to say, part of what does happen is when you're not available and somebody else comes in and plays and you know, plays well, the longer that guy then is on the bench and the starter is playing and struggling, you know, the better people remember the previous guy playing. Does that make sense? Like, they almost misremember. Like, you know, it used to be a joke, like, with some guys at ESPN, like, the further away you were from playing, like, the better you actually were, right? Like, it just is kind of like how people saw it, and it's just, it's not the reality, but that's how people start to remember it, and fans start talking about it that way, and before you know it, it kind of can take on a life of its own. It feels like that could be starting to happen in New England.
How bad? I did not watch this particular game. I watched a lot of games, but I was at the Titans game, and I just could not believe what I was watching on the scoreboard. Tampa scores 3 points at Carolina. How does that happen?
So, a couple things. One, people probably have seen, you know, early in the game, Mike Evans drops a post route that would walk in. And so that was bad. But truthfully, I think one of the biggest problems that they were having is that Brady didn't play well even when things were blocked up. So, you know, we typically see him in the pocket, moving in the pocket, staying kind of organized to throw the football and being accurate with it, and he just wasn't. And so they were all out of sorts offensively in the passing game. And, you know, one of the interesting things, and it's just, it's kind of, I guess, as people keep their eye on what could happen in Carolina, just remember this. You know, Mike McDaniel takes over in Miami, but he keeps the defensive staff, basically, from the prior regime. Well, what's interesting in Carolina is, you know, Matt Rhule was fired, and basically because the offense stunk. But that defense is actually a pretty good defense. I think there's a chance that defensive staff, especially if Wilkes ends up playing or coaching well and it doesn't get an opportunity to be something other than a coordinator somewhere else, does that staff stick around? Because they're doing a pretty good job on that side of the ball.
Now, Tim, the AFC North is becoming very interesting now. It seems like Baltimore started off blazing at the beginning of the season, and it seems like Lamar Jackson and some questionable decisions by Harbaugh, and it just seems like this team is taking steps backwards. They're still playing good at times. They came, you know, they beat Cleveland, which was a big win for them last week, but they don't seem like the same team they were in the first couple of weeks. Now you see Cincinnati, who didn't seem like the team that ended the season at the beginning of the season. Now it seems like they're picking up. You know, they're sort of picking up and getting back on the roll. We don't know what Cleveland is, definitely until Deshaun Watson come back. But this AFC North is sort of taking on a life of its own with these top three teams. And you can never count Pittsburgh out, because I just think Mike Tomlin is one of the best coaches out there. When he's coaching the team, I never count him out.
Yeah, look, I tend to agree with that. I do think that they offensively, you know, they're struggling so much. I'm not sure Tomlin can even, you know, fix that. But I guess what I would say is, to your point about, you know, the other two teams at the top, like Cincinnati, remember, like, Burrow missed a bunch of time. What do you have, the appendix out or something at the start of the year? And, you know, there's some, you know, offensive, you know, kind of offensive line issues, and the quarterback's getting hit a bunch. I think they're working through. But really, Cincinnati, when you just look at them in terms of, you know, net points versus, you know, their point, I mean, they're plus 41, you know, on net points. Like, that offense is going to start scoring now. And, you know, the quarterback's rolling. And they have three receivers. Let me just put it in perspective. They have three receivers have over 90 yards receiving last week. You know, two over 100. So, like, they become really hard to defend. And then I think in Baltimore, I think you nailed it, D-Mace. Like, their record could look drastically different if you just kind of make a couple of, you know, maybe decisions. Hey, we'll kick a field goal here instead of go for it. Or, hey, against Miami, you get one, you know, third down conversion in the fourth quarter of that game, and it looks different. Like, they're a 4-3 team that, well, you could be 6-1 easily. And, like, we know they're good. We know they're well coached. We know their quarterback's a handful.
Now, looking at the Jets, they made a big move. Their running back, Breece Hall, got injured, tore an ACL, so he's out for the season. They trade for Robinson with Jacksonville. I can see that as two ways. I can see Jacksonville believing so much in ETN, and we've talked about him and how he seems like he's just becoming that difference maker at the running back position. And the Jets still feel like, you know, they're one of the best teams in AFC, and, you know, they just need to replace their running back. But what Saleh is doing with the Jets, man, I didn't see this coming.
No, I didn't see it coming either. Remember, they started the year with Joe Flacco as their starter because, you know, the Wilson injury. And Wilson really hasn't played all that great. So, but Breece Hall had been amazing for them. He really had been. He's a good back. Really, both of those. You think about Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker, like, those guys, you know, at this point in the season, they've both been impressive. But I feel like this is one of those scenarios where kind of perfect for everybody. Because of the Breece Hall injury, there was a need. So they go, you know, to Jacksonville, and they're like, hey, like, will you give him up? They do. So it works for Jacksonville, because Jacksonville, like, the future at the position is definitely Travis Etienne. Like, there's no question about it. So, look, I think Robert Saleh has done a really good job there, because it's been a struggle. And so I think to do that while it's been difficult, meaning, like, it hasn't come easy. You know, you didn't just have a quarterback come in and play great, or, like, completely change the way you're doing things to all of a sudden, you know, find ways to win. Like, I feel like they've been grinding them out, you know, and they've been ugly at times. And they just feel like they fought for it versus, like, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but, like, Seattle right now is, like, you know, the talk. Like, wow, who saw this coming? But, like, look at Seattle's wins. Like, that's the only thing I would say. Like, they're not – look, other than the Chargers, and I think you can discuss whether or not that's a impressive win, you know, I think you can question, you know, if they really are that good.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. The NFC East has gone from the NFC Least to the NFC Beast, is what I'll call it. I mean, with the Eagles, the Giants, the worst 6-1 team in football history, and then the Cowboys. How do you think that division shakes out now that Dak is back in the fold with Dallas?
Yeah, I think Dallas is a good team to win games the way they won, like, where you're not relying on the quarterback a ton. You're not, or relying on the offense in general. It means you're a good football team. They are that's a good team. And to survive what they survived with the backup quarterback, I think speaks to that. So, look, I chose them to win the division. I think Philadelphia, like as we sit here now, if I could have a redo on it, like I would choose Philadelphia. And here's what I'd say about the Giants. Like, they're certainly not out of it, but like if anyone watched some of that Giants game, I counted like six drops in that game. And I do think the lack of real talent at receiver eventually comes back to start costing them games. I think you know, there's elements of what they do that help you win. Good example would be they get into a four-minute offense at the end of the game, and they rip off a 13-yard run, a 7-yard run, a 20-yard run, and then like a quarterback keep that goes for like, you know, 15 or 20 yards, all within like, what is that? That's five plays and like seven plays when everybody knows that they're going to run it. Like, that's what good teams do. So I do think, like, you know, their run game, how they're playing defense, all that stuff's great. But I do believe that eventually the lack of talent at receiver, you know, comes back to get them. And so I, at this point, would go Philadelphia, Dallas, New York.
He is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us every Tuesday at noon. Timmy, thanks for the time as always. We'll talk next week.
Got it. See you, boys.